ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, it's Sam Hawley from ABC News Daily, the podcast that brings you one big story affecting your world each weekday in just 15 minutes.
As this transition unfolds and we rely more and more on electricity rather than gas or oil, the network will need to be upgraded, and that all needs to be paid for by us.
Join me for ABC News Daily. Find us on ABC Listen.
So at the moment, trillions of dollars are being spent by the tech titans as they compete to be the winner in the artificial intelligence race. But the fundamental question is the expenditure actually going to be worth the prize? And are there any prizes for those who come runner-up? Welcome to ABC Business Daily. I'm Carrington Clark.
And I'm Ian Verinder, the ABC's Chief Business Correspondent.
Ian, thank you for joining us. And we're going to kick off today by talking about your latest piece of analysis. Always good to check in with Ian on a Tuesday to see what he's got on the ABC website. We have been talking at length this year about the AI boom and how critical, really, it's the only story in town when it comes to the stock market gains that we have seen. And your article really lays out that really it is this handful, slightly bigger, maybe two handfuls worth of companies that have been driving the extraordinary gains that we've seen over in the United States. Mm. And good for those people who've been long on the NASDAQ or long on the S&P 500. Not such good news if you've been just exposed to the Australian market, where we've seen really tepid gains at best over here because we don't have those tech stories. And the question becomes, with the trillions of dollars that have been earmarked for artificial intelligence expenditure investment, we say not expenditure at this point, that's what they want us to believe, will it actually be worth it? And I mean, and when you hear people start to talk about, well, this time is different than other investment booms or other stock market rallies, antennas start to go off, but could it be that this time it truly is different and it is worthwhile?
I tend to think no. I don't think it's different. And I think to start with, you need to delineate the difference between the investment boom and the technology itself. So the technology, it is obviously valid. It works. But radio worked as well. The internet works as well. But the investment boom that preceded both of those revolutions in communications technology, you know, there was a lot of people who lost a lot of money out of that. I mean, the radio boom, I think it was back in the 1920s or so, it took 25 plus years before the share prices of some of those boom stocks actually recovered back to those levels. You know, the tech boom of the mid to late 90s and the subsequent undoing of it all in 2000, the tech wreck. I mean, you saw huge numbers of investors just lose an absolute fortune. It slammed the US stock exchange and took, you know, really took the US economy down with it as well, to a large extent. So, but that's not to say that the internet doesn't work.
Yeah. Neither of us could remember the 1920s radio boom.
It's worth having a look at. It really is, because the parallels are there. You know,
but you were reporting when we had the tech boom at the in the late 90s, early 2000s. What did it feel like compared to now? And you're right to point out that a lot of companies went bankrupt during that period. A lot of people lost a lot of money. But that is not to say that the internet did not completely transform the way that commerce works, way that we interact,
right,
the way that we shop.
Yeah.
But there was still lots of companies who had been badged as .net were somehow related to the internet revolution, where the expenditure wasn't good, that the investment didn't work out. So how do that period versus the artificial intelligence period we're going through right now, how does it feel different to you?
Well, it's different in a couple of major ways. And the biggest difference is that back then, the vast bulk of the companies that were involved in the internet revolution had no business. They were loss-making operations. They basically went to the market, raised a lot of equity. They then raised a lot of debt, and they had no income. And they kept burning and churning through cash, until...
So they had an idea or yeah. they had a concept that they were taking out to market, but they weren't actually making revenue. They weren't bringing in cash through the door.
No, and the ones that did make a little bit of revenue were churning it all back into their business as well. And Amazon is a great example of that. You know, one of the great survivors of that era. But most of those businesses really were just out there raising money and either through equity or through debt and then just burning through it. The difference this time has been you've got a couple of extraordinarily huge companies making vast amounts of money who, for the initial phase of this boom, this investment boom, poured their cash resources back in there. You know, they're having money flowing in and they're using that cash to basically fund this new development. And that is a major difference because that means that their business is not going to just suddenly blow up, even if the technology doesn't work or even if there's some major thing that makes it obsolete. You know, they'll make losses, but they're not going to basically go out of business. That is changing though now as we, you know.
This is a big difference, isn't it? That the those at the kind of vanguard of this revolution, in large part, we're going to put aside OpenAI and Anthropic, but if you look at, say, the Alphabet's a parent company of Google, or you look at Amazon, or you look at Microsoft, it's a little bit more complicated with Microsoft with its business, but these are big existing technology companies that have had rivers of gold flowing into different parts of their business. In the case of Alphabet with Google, it's ad revenue. Amazon, it's both online shopping, but actually even more lucrative has been their cloud services. And Microsoft, so they've been able to invest heavily, including in companies like OpenAI and Anthropic. Now, those
and they've adapted their businesses as they've grown.
Yes,
you know, like Meta, for instance, I didn't really have an advertising model before it started. It was just we've got all these people who want to be on our platform, and they figured out how to make money from it. Google as well. I mean, they perfected the art of targeting individuals, you know, down to the absolute minute.
Yeah.
Exactly what you want to buy, they figured out what it is. And that, you know, basically put old style media out of business.
Yeah.
And so that was one example of how they, you know, adapted. Amazon is a great example of how they adapted their service as well. I mean, it basically was an online shopping service. And then they had so much data that they didn't know how to store it properly. So they figured out a way to store it in this thing called the cloud. And this was a great little model for, you know, a really efficient way to run your business. And then somebody in Amazon said, hey, listen, if this works for us, this is probably going to work for a whole lot of other companies as well. Why don't we make this a separate business? And of course, now it's, well, it has been for the past few years at least, their biggest revenue earner.
The bullish case for the investment in artificial intelligence is that this technology is going to completely transform the way that we operate in business, but also in our day-to-day lives. And so it has been the case that basically the more money you can throw at investment in artificial intelligence, the more you are rewarded by the market because they see that investment as paying dividends in future years. So the bullish case, I think, is pretty well known. This technology can help people to do things much more efficiently, particularly when it comes to things like coding, repetitive tasks, etc. And that potentially means businesses become more efficient. They potentially can lay off workers or have workers be more productive. That's a bullish case. So what your article goes through is the bearish case. What could possibly go wrong? And you list, you kind of go into different areas that potentially could cause the AI investment boom to trip over. One of them is, well, the data centers that are necessary in order to power this AI transformation, they're kind of tricky to build. And in that, they are massive users of electricity at a time when, we'll use the Australian local example, we're trying to already do this massive energy transition to renewables, using batteries, rejigging our entire electricity grid, plus plugging a whole lot more things in there, including electric vehicles, because we're trying to get out of internal combustion engines. That was already happening. And now we're told, well, actually, we're going to plug in these massive data centers at the exact same time. And the thing with data centers is, most people don't want to live next to one.
That's right.
Right? Where exactly where you've got the capacity, you know, where you can plug more easily into the electricity grid near where people live or where they work, people don't necessarily want to be next to these things because a lot of the time they're pretty loud. They come with a lot of associated kind of cuts to your own local amenity, and they are potentially going to force up electricity prices in that local area depending on the nature of the electricity grid. So how hard is it to actually get these things up and running?
Look, it's always hard to get anything in a semi-residential area. And these centres seem to need to be close to city centres. Now, look, a couple of points here, though. It's all about the investment phase of this. And just because the technology obviously works, and what's happened is, this handful or double handful of companies have all decided this is the future and we have to be part of it and we have to come out as the winners in this. And so money is no object. We're going to throw everything we can at this, all of us together, throw everything we can to try and beat our rivals, and we'll end up, absolutely super rich as a result of this. In every boom, it's the overinvestment. It's the huge amounts of money that go down the wrong paths.
The overexuberance.
Yeah. And like, you can see it happening. There's just way too much money being invested in all of this stuff. And then the companies are rewarded by shareholders because they're investing all this money. And of course, that inflates the value of the company, and which is what we've seen happen now. Now, the inflation in value has also been based upon the idea that the frenetic pace, the incredible speed at which the technology has been developed, will be able to then be marketed and get, be distributed around the globe and will revolutionize the way we all live. Now, developing the technology itself is one thing. Actually getting it to market, getting it through. And so we've moved beyond the development of the technology, and we're now getting into the phase of actually delivering it out to the community, out to businesses. And that involves, as you just said, building physical bricks and mortar plants with cooling towers and massive, diesel generators for backup power. Plus, you're going to have, all these other renewable energy sources as well. And we've seen a lot of difficulty in getting renewable energy just up and running for our own use, instead of just a doubling from data centers. So there's real physical constraints starting to enter this equation. And so what I'm suggesting is that the overexuberance we've seen in the investment in the technology side is possibly going to be tripped up by the difficulties involved in getting it out there into the community.
I've been watching some social media posts where I used to live near Washington, D.C. There's a lot of data centers in Virginia. And you'll see them when you're like flying in. They just seem to go on for acres. And there are growing complaints about people who live nearby who were sold this story that it won't have much of an impact on your day-to-day life. It'll be relatively quiet, and yet they're seeing there are instances where generators are running 24/7, even though they're only supposed to be there for backup because it hasn't been properly connected to the grid. Now, these may be outliers in the full implementation, but I think these kind of practical concerns of the tough part where it's actually rolled out is where it starts to get worrying. And so when the contracts are all signed and people are saying, we're going to spend X amount of billions of dollars building data centers, that sounds great. The stock market gets excited, good on the behalf of the company doing the investment. Also, the companies that are building these things, you see both of their values skyrocket. But then actually the building, that is the tricky part, right?
You can build some technology that revolutionizes everything in possibly a day or even a week. But to get these things built is going to take years. And I don't think the market has adequately accounted for the fact for this delay in getting it out to the workforce. Who's going to fund the electricity generation? Well, possibly the companies. That means that the customers, the corporations who are going to be using artificial intelligence, the ordinary individuals who are going to be using it, probably going to have to pay a lot more than they originally anticipated.
Well, this is a big part, isn't it, right? The boom-bust cycle in part, there's been economists trying to look at what causes boom-bust cycles for forever, but part of the argument is that during the boom part, everyone's throwing money kind of at the same thing at the same time, which means you push up the demand for that thing, which makes the price of that thing go up a lot. So at the moment, if you're an artificial intelligence expert, great, you're making hay. Everyone wants to poach you. You're earning a lot of money. If you're trying to build data centers or you make the chips that go into data centers, you're making huge amounts of money because everyone wants it and you can jack up your prices and there's a limited supply. But the question is, at what point does it no longer become economic to actually be doing that, where you're actually, the investment is worth what you're going to get as a return? And at the moment, you would just think no one seems to be doing the kind of hard-nosed analysis about how much is this actually worth to us.
That's right. And look, you're seeing some side effects from all this. You saw, well, there's companies involved in making chips, memory chips, and the price of those has skyrocketed. So there's a company called Micron that's just seen its earnings absolutely shoot the lights out. I mean, phenomenal revenue growth. And because its chips are in such demand that, you know, the price of them has gone up exponentially, far greater than anybody ever expected. But this has then ricocheted right down the line through all kinds of memory chips to the point where Apple, which isn't really involved in the AI revolution or chase.
Much less than the other big tech giants. It's really kind of stayed on the sidelines.
And now it's announced last week that it's going to have to raise the price of pretty much all its products because these chips, which are going into AI, are now in short supply. So I think they're going to raise their prices by around about 25%. Now, this is going to have an impact right across. Well, it's going to have an impact on the economy with inflation. So these are all of these things that nobody's really thought of. All of these side effects are going to start to ripple through. But I do think the delay in actually getting the idea and the technology distributed, physically distributed through the economy, is going to take longer and therefore have an impact on the projected cash flows and the projected revenue and the projected profits that a lot of these companies think they're going to get. It's going to blow out the timelines quite substantially. And that means the share prices right now, which have been priced for absolute perfection, for everything going absolutely according to plan, those plans are going to go a little bit awry.
Now, again, there's a lot of people with the bullish case on AI. If people want to go and listen to, there's lots of podcasts out there.
I think that, I'm bullish on the technology. I think the technology exists, just like we were saying about the internet. You know, the internet exists. It's revolutionized our lives. Yes. And AI will probably do the same. But, you know, even the Bank for International Settlements over the weekend. Now, this is a central bank. It's called the Central Bank's Central Banker. And I had a big meeting in Europe over the weekend and essentially outlined the case that the artificial intelligence boom, they're worried about the overinvestment, the huge amount of money that's gone into chasing this and the potential for, well, where's the money come from? If it's coming out of debt markets, are they regulated debt markets or is it private debt? Is this going to create another global financial crisis? They're clearly worried about this. They're really
the reason this could be a catastrophic risk when it comes to this impact on the economy is because it's all happening all at once, right? Yeah. And so
the speed of it is just mind-boggling.
There are echoes to me. 10 years ago, everyone was talking about you just need to invest in infrastructure. We need more infrastructure expenditure. That's the reason we don't have productivity growth. Well, yes, overall, most infrastructure is a good thing, right? Good infrastructure spending is a good thing.
Yeah.
But bad infrastructure is not a good thing, right? And so you have to be hard-nosed. So I think there was a period where people were just like, any infrastructure project, state governments, federal governments was looking to throw money at it. But the problem is if you're doing that all at once, in particular in a relatively small economy like Australia, it pushes up the cost of those inputs. It's pushing up the cost of construction workers, but construction materials. And if it's all happening at once, you are potentially investing in things that don't make financial or economic sense. And the concern now is you've got this rush happening. You've got the big tech companies competing with each other, all throwing money at the same things all at once. And there are these amazing stories of poaching the lead AI person at company A over to company B, and then them poaching one back from the other person and pushing up the price of these people, the salaries, and the huge and competing where you're putting data centers or how many chips are you going to buy from NVIDIA or whatever. And at some point it reaches such a fever pitch that they aren't rational decisions.
No.
But the question for you, I guess, Ian, I think a lot of people would be asking is, if there is a bubble, what eventually pops it? Is it a move in interest rates? Is it something that happens externally to these companies, or is there just a point, is there a time limit on how long this exuberance can go on for?
I don't think a shift up in interest rates alone will do this because there is so much money invested in it. And I think they've accounted for the idea that the cost of capital might rise. But I do think the share price bubble that we've seen for these companies is it going to be a crash or is it going to be a correction? It'll probably be a correction. But we are seeing a lot of debt, right? So we've seen a switch from equity and cash flow to debt into this to fund this frenetic investment boom. So that does, you know, interest rates clearly come into play there, but it's also, it raises the risk. As soon as you start adding debt in, it raises the risk. And like I
said, because debt becomes payable to people at some point, that the creditor eventually wants their money back.
And then if there is a shift downwards, a large correction, the lenders start sitting there going, okay, how secure is that borrower? Can they repay the money to me? You've got other lenders over there going, that lender over there who lent all that money to company A, and we don't think they're very solvent, is that going to impact on them? We better not, you know, extend any credit towards them. Well, this is what happened through the financial crisis. Lending institutions became suspicious of each other and wouldn't lend to each other, and the whole wheels, all the mechanism just seized up.
Yeah.
And so this is
the gears get sand in them and it grinds.
And this is what the Bank of International Settlements is really concerned about. So, and you look, you know what I saw one figure estimate: $2.6 trillion US dollars to be invested in AI this year, and around about $7.3 trillion between now and 2030. That takes data centers into account. I mean, we're talking colossal amounts of money, which constrain the financial system and constrain the lending institutions in there. And particularly if this is coming out of private equity, which is unregulated. So central banks don't really have a handle on what's going on private markets.
It's not the same transparency that we would see in a bank lending.
So there are, I don't think just rising interest rates alone will do it, but the sheer volume of money that's being lent at the moment and the sheer amount of money that's being put into things that possibly will not pay off.
I think most people acknowledge that this is an extraordinary rally that we've seen, particularly on US markets. Not just US, the South Korean index has also skyrocketed because of their exposure to chips in particular.
Wow. I mean, you know, it's actually risen it's trebled in the past year.
Isn't that, it's amazing.
I know. If that doesn't ring alarm bells though, yep. You know.
Yes, exactly. And so, yes, maybe interest rates will have an impact. You seem to think a correction is more likely than a complete collapse. Is that
Wishful thinking.
Yeah. There are people who are suggesting that we are on very thin ice. And I guess the question, as you say, will be, A, when debts become payable, that starts to be a question. And also, I think if you start to see these big companies start to write off their investments.
That's
and
right.
That often is when a new CEO, for example, comes into one of these companies and suddenly starts to say, actually, guys, that investment we made,
the promises
didn't work
we
out.
Made about, you know, the handsome returns we were predicting, sorry, not happening. Yeah. Then you see the share price mark down. And you've seen that in Australian companies just in the past, you know, 6 months or so. From the, you know, the
CSL,
half years.
Absolutely
punished because they didn't deliver on their promises.
We are all invested in this boom in some ways because of our superannuation.
That's right. I mean, the reason why we're going to get high single digit returns or double digit returns on our super funds this year is because of artificial intelligence, because of this boom.
Exposure to overseas
That's
stocks,
right.
not to Australian
no,
stocks.
No, the Australian markets went nowhere this year, up around about 2.5%.
Well, that is it for today's episode of ABC Business Daily. You can read Ian's article on the ABC website. There's more detail there. He lays out his case very clearly. Very interested to hear from listeners about their views about the investment in artificial intelligence. I'm sure people have very strong views in one direction or the other. Now, remember, we are also running our special tax week bonus episodes this week to commemorate the end of the financial year and the start of a new one. If you do have questions, please send them in. You can email abcbusinessdaily@abc.net.au. And to make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following us on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch you next time, Ian.
See ya.